Okay. Back with you. Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you're on because I wanted to get an update. I heard.
Yeah, I was on last Thursday, but I was working and I was in my
just
truck.
Driving, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, I got a good listen.
Yeah, good stuff. Go ahead. What's the update?
I still haven't got another salesperson on, and it's just
okay.
And that's partly my that's partly my fault because it's like I've been so busy. It's like I haven't had time to interview. I did interview a couple, and they just didn't. You know, I didn't even bother having them taking the disc test, but because they just didn't sound good. But so that's where I'm at, and I just got to get myself to where it's like I can't be quite so busy. And be able to work on it.
Yeah, when this kicks in, you're going to be busy doing this, but it helps you get rid of job busy, which is what you want, right? It's going to be a time where everybody has issues finding time. So, you know, you're just going to have to carve something out. I get it. It's hard to get everything fit in, but you're going to go through a phase here where you're double busy with the goal of being less busy long term. So, you know, understand, and I know you do, but put in the, you know, deal with the short term amount of work so that the long term looks different than currently.
Right.
So how many have responded to your ad?
Five. Well, I had two, but I took the one off of Craigslist, and I just because those are the ones I'm just getting people that just I don't know they just don't seem motivated or
did you understand. Post it in sales?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have an ad going on Indeed.com then too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and you know, here's another question. I was thinking, because I've been trying to make calls on when I've got it time by myself, I'm not getting answers.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting another phone and just having it with that area code. I'm just curious if that's why I'm not getting people to answer the phone.
Yeah, hard to say. You can. You know, it's I think at the end of the day, somebody consistently on and calling, but yeah, typically,
yeah.
If you see, you know, if you see different area code, you know, people have stereotypes around it. You know, somebody's calling for whatever reason, but yeah, we've seen both work. It's really the persistence factor that pays off when you have somebody that's dedicated to jumping on the phone. That's what makes it happen, whether that person's you or somebody else, right? So. But, yeah, I mean, whatever it takes, if it gets, you know, a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, whatever percent better response, in the long run, worth it.
Yeah.
I'd say. Yep. But, yeah, the first thing is get somebody on board.
Right.
So you've got Indeed. Right. You know, Craigslist, there are some good people on there. This is like any job hunt, right? You're all on the other end of it. You got to find somebody that you think can work out and that's qualified, but – you know, keep the job ad fresh, keep it posted, and you'll find somebody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, so, you know, but and like I say, that's my fault. I haven't been able to, you know, once I got back from the eclipse, I was so busy last week, and I'm busy till basically Wednesday this week. Then Thursday and Friday I got some time, and then next week I've got a little bit more time where I can, you know, do stuff too. But, so I'm trying to kind of stagger.
So do this. Get if you have time Thursday and Friday, make sure those ads are fresh and updated so that you're generating some feedback the next couple of days so that you can just be on the phone Thursday, Friday, not posting that ad. Because you can get an ad up in 15, 20 minutes if you're reading it multiple times.
Yeah.
If you have one written, you can probably get it up in 5. So make sure, even if people wait two days for you to call them back, that's fine. Just make sure you have some folks to talk to on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Good stuff, Kat. Now that the eclipse hangover is over, back
what?
At it.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
I just said the eclipse hangover is now over. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, summertime I do a lot of camping. So now this weekend, you know, I got this weekend coming up. We're all going camping again.
and here's the thing is, right, what we're working towards fits your lifestyle. So now instead of you going camping, and we've had this conversation and nothing getting done, you're going to go camping and a lot of things are going to get done, and that's called lifestyle and leverage. And so that's exactly what we want to take place, so that you come back from camping and either have conversations or properties to evaluate, deals under contract. That's where this is going, just to make the time when you're away more efficient. And that happens through team members. So, plus it'll make camping more fun when you come back and realize, here's what's going on in the business, right? Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So, let's get that person found. Make sure those ads are relevant, and you be on the phone on Thursday and Friday.
All right.
Who else is on with us?
Al,
what's going on? What's the update?
Well, I had my gal that was doing the pictures.
Yeah.
I had her take the test, and she is off the charts as a D.
Yep.
Which I think I'm going to have her making some calls. She did do telemarketing for a couple years.
Okay.
And she doesn't seem to be afraid, so she's going to start probably tomorrow. I've got about 300 leads ready for her to look at. So that I'm pretty happy about. But I still need to – I meant to send you an email over the weekend. I didn't do it because – I couldn't have done it today anyway, but I'm having, I don't know if anybody else is, but these numbers on my, I can get by it on the software, but when I do the campaigns and then I take some of the leads out of the campaign and assign them to somebody, the numbers just never come out right. I mean, they transfer, but the numbers may show that they have 53 leads and they only have 10, you know, or 12, or I mean, the numbers are just, I had trouble with that early on when I had the software for just regular leads. And I don't know. Maybe it's probably something I'm doing. But do I need to get you?
Yeah, let's do a screen share, and you can show me what your exact clicks, and then we'll be able to troubleshoot it that way. So just
I'll give you some dates.
Email. We'll find time either tomorrow or Wednesday. Yep.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, Hal, this is a big deal. I mean, you've got somebody that fits the mold on the phone, so make sure you've got 300 leads. Obviously, they're going to burn through those. How many hours a day is she committing to this, to the phone?
Well, this is kind of an experiment because I took her off the, you know, I got all the other leads too, and I just pulled up another two zip codes, and you know, they're just literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of leads that we can work. But I want to kind of vet them a little bit first. I want to know. I've been going through them at night and putting in the bedrooms and the baths and all that stuff so that you have something to, at least you know something when you talk to them. And I got to say the software is pretty slick on. I didn't realize, you know, I looked back and when I started this thing, since I had all those houses, I didn't do a lot of the videos. This weekend I spent the whole weekend on all the videos in the back office and and the comparable sales thing is slick. I mean, it is cool. I couldn't believe it's that cool. And once we get it down, Pat, and I'm going to make calls too. It's just I want to make calls so I know what I'm talking about, so I can train somebody else if I have to. But this gal's pretty sharp and she's hungry as can be. And
that's a beautiful combination.
So I'm just hoping it works out. I couldn't believe she was a high D. I mean, it's higher than anybody I've seen. It was a lot higher. I knew I'd be a high D, but I didn't know that she would be that high.
Yeah.
I mean, it was clear off the end of the chart.
It's so.
So anyway,
this is an exciting time. So be ready to, if she's really a rainmaker and if this works out, you want her on the phone. You said you were filling in beds and baths and that kind of thing. Here's the deal. in the interim,
somebody else to do it.
Right, that's okay. But, yeah, when your VA does the research, just train them on, hey, here's what you're going to do. Grab this, put this here, owner of record here. And then when you're on the, you know, on the county website, wherever that data shows, say, you know, just type in, you know, how many beds and baths right here and click save for us. So that's not something, that's not a task you want to do. That's not a task you want a salesperson doing, right? You want them to pick up
yeah.
the phone, find sellers, and get you in the middle of deals. So that's a perfect task for a $4 to $5 an hour VA while they're doing the skip tracing, and it takes them an extra, you know, 20 to 30 seconds, if that, to plug it in. So anytime you see something like that that needs to be done, right, what's the system around it? Who's going to do it? Who does it make sense to do it? And get that stuff, right, clear the path, make it as smooth as possible for a good salesperson.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Sit back and watch what happens. So here's the thing. You want to get ahead of buyers. You want to be on the phone with as many of those. Eventually, you know, you'll have a dispositions person in place, but you're about to turn on somebody that's sharp with good leads. So, you know, prepare for the storm a little bit. You've got to start working buyers list in the time that you have available so that you can get these deals to the closing table, get your salesperson paid. You know, typically once they see a couple paychecks, you know, they'll say, hey, this is the real deal, and the motivation will even go up. Sounds like she's already motivated, but
she is. And let me ask you a quick question about on a lot of these that we're finding, you know, they're LLC, so they're people that have bought houses. Some of them are sitting on them, some of them I wasn't really going to concentrate on them to try to buy their properties, because in a lot of cases I already know the area. And they're rehabbing them, or they have them for rentals. But at the same time, they're right in the area that I'm working, so they'd be perfect on a buyer's list, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
And that's what
Absolutely.
That's what I did, was I made a group just for investors that already own properties, and I'm putting them over there. And I figured to put them on the buyer's list, and then when we do get a property, just send it right out to them.
You got it. Yeah, so you can have your skip tracing VA start looking those up. If they're looking for LLCs and corporations, they have to get a little creative. They're typically not going to go to the standard skip tracing tools. But somebody brought up, I think it was maybe Tom, about a site called Corporate Wiki that you can look up company names, Secretary of State websites, and then get ready – how to send a letter to those addresses if you can't find a number.
Okay.
Drop a little mailer, you know, a little something in the mail that says, hey, I've got a couple leads right in the area, you know, working in your neighborhood. Are you still buying? Doesn't have to be
like you
special.
Said, you know, when I did this 11 years ago, my best year was in Kansas City. I only had about 15 investors, all I had, and I never kept a property for more than 24 hours.
Right.
Never.
Yeah, you don't need a ton. You just have to identify. You just have to identify the players in town that have cash to spend.
Yep.
So when you get them on the phone ahead of leads, right, your script is going to say something like, you know, make it your own, but hey, I've got a bunch of marketing that's about to drop. I see that you've been active in the area. You know, are you still active, and do you have capital that needs to be placed here in the next 30 to 90 days? What does that look like?
Yeah.
Get them lined up, right?
Okay.
Get them ready to go. And you want, if somebody says yes, they'll tell you, I'm looking for, right, they'll either say, I've got $250,000 to place, or I need four deals in the next 60 days. Keep those folks on the short list.
Right.
And then as soon as a contract is in hand, they're getting a phone call, going right back to them.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I had one like that once. I had a doctor, and he bought 40% of everything I came up with.
Yeah.
He had 250 rentals.
Yeah, you just those people are going to come, right? When you start building a buyer's list, and this is why you build a buyer's list of 250, 500, whatever. because you're going to pull out the top investors, right? And then you can replace that VIP list as kind of a revolving door. You get somebody that's, you know, looking for one a quarter, and then you get somebody that's looking for two a month, and you just start replacing names and numbers on that priority list of who you call first.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't take a ton. That's for sure.
Yeah, I got to get this rolling. I just got to.
Yeah, it's moving in the right direction. Wait, you've got somebody sharp about to jump on the phone and start hitting these leads.
Yep, we're going to see what happens. Okay.
Yep. Good stuff. Any other questions we can answer?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Who else is on?
Hey, Mike, Olivia here.
Hey, Olivia.
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
Good. I was just going to give you a quick update. Of my bird dog leads I retrieved, I'm down to calling the last 35. This is 20 per list, and I'm planning to get those done in the next day or two. I'm moving a little faster. I do the stats, you know, the offer price before I call them, just so I've got something going. And anyway, I always use the comps to get the houses, the 1-1s, whatever, you know, bedroom, bathroom, square feet. So that helps a lot.
Yep.
And when I'm done with these, my next move is going to be to run another Craigslist ad and then have a salesperson come on.
Say that again. It sounds like you're in the wind or something.
You know what? I'm saying, hang on a sec. Can you hear me better?
Yeah, that is a little better.
It is windy out here. But anyway, so I want to get another, by the end of the week, I'm going to run another Craigslist ad and then get a sales, find a salesperson to make calls.
Okay. How many more leads? I'd rather have you not wait until one thing ends to start another if you can get another thing started while you wrap up and then have people to talk to in the meantime. So, you know, maybe stack, you know, to go and post an ad and have people start to reply, even if they, you know, like I told Hal, even if they, or Mark, even if they sit there for a couple of days, that's okay. You don't have to call them back in 10 minutes, right? You can call them back a few days later. So, Be planning ahead and say, okay, here's what I need in 3 days, but let me prep for today, so that we don't lose any days in there.
Okay, that's good. I feel like then if I'm doing that, I need to get some more leads going.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was my next question.
Before the salesperson, I need to get another job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, turn that on as well, because while you're talking to salespeople. You know, phone interview, disc test, maybe taking them to dinner, something like that. You can have those leads start coming in, get them skip trace, because there's a little bit of a lag time there.
Yeah, so. There is. Okay. Yeah, that would be better. And I can do that.
Eventually,
eventually
when things are ticking, your lead gen is never going to shut off. There may be times when, you know, you slow it down or speed it up or that kind of thing. But, you know, one of the right at the core of everything that Rob teaches and we teach this program is, you know, we talk about it on every orientation call, that triangle, the five steps of the foundation we build. The very bottom is lead gen, and it has to stay that way. So whether you're doing it or you have a leads manager, that's one of the pieces. When you always have leads to call, whether you're on the phone or salesperson, there's always a next conversation to have, and that's how you want to keep it. Right?
Yeah, thank you for that reminder. So, I appreciate that. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, never lose sight of that. You know, a lot of people, and this is a reminder from orientation call, right? Which was the first time you and everybody on here and I ever spoke, but. A lot of folks think, you know, they think wholesaling is real estate 101 and that you graduate, and that's absolutely not the case. So, you know, Rob is, he's always generating leads. He's always meeting cash buyers. Those two things never, ever go away, regardless of the current exit strategy that he's employing.
Uh-huh.
Because when you always have leads, right, you always have deals, potential deals, right, you always have that conversation. And when you're always meeting cash buyers, you're doing the stuff we were just talking about with Hal, right, where you're updating your VIP list. You'll pull private lenders out of your cash buyer list, business partnerships, relationships. You'll do deals with cash buyers. You just never know, right? That's your network, your audience that you always want to keep growing. So, Hank, you know, regardless of what happens, hang on to those two things. We always generate leads and we always meet cash buyers. Those
okay.
two things. All right.
Good. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Who else? The fundamentals, right? I love that analogy with, and I'm sure I've used it on here, but Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player ever, he only worked on a handful of fundamentals, right, for basketball, dribble, pass, shoot. And then there's a physical element, right, because there's a lot of running and jumping and all that stuff, right? So that just was one of the things that comes with basketball, but there isn't a new fundamental to the game of basketball. It's always been dribble, pass, shoot, and it will always be dribble, pass, shoot. That's how you play the game. And so, you know, with just about anything in life, real estate, basketball, whatever, there are typically a handful of things that we would consider fundamentals. You don't have to be good at 1,000 things to make a lot of money with real estate, right? You have to be good at a handful of things. And so that's what we want to focus on here. And the first two that are foundational are generating leads and building a buyer's list. If you do, right, if you do those two things, then you have sellers to talk to, right? And then you start working into some of the other, you know, then we get in the middle of deals when you have those two things. And it's those are really two of the fundamentals that you got to hang on to. So that's typically when we talk about it, it's usually encouraging to people, right? And it's meant to be. You don't have to make a ton of money with real estate, you don't have to be good at 1,000 things. You don't have to be good at 100 things, right? It's really like 3 to 5. And yeah, there are some different nuances into it and how you talk to sellers and that kind of thing, but that's, right, that's what we consider getting good at, right? You know, you get good at sort of managing your team or bringing on a salesperson and that kind of thing, but there aren't 1,000 moving pieces to this business or to any business for that matter. So hang on to the fundamentals. It's easy to get sidetracked, and we always want to come back to, you know, what are the handful of things you can be doing that make all the difference? And that's where we want our focus to be. It's easy to get bored, right? Michael Jordan never got bored with them. He just, you know, I followed his career fairly closely. And so, you know, the last few years there towards the end, they called it the Breakfast Club. And he and, what was it, Ron Harper, I think, and Scottie Pippen, I think it was, met at his house because he had a gym in his house. And then they had a chef that would cook them breakfast. And then they would practice together before they went to team practice, right, because they were just that driven. And all they did was they just drilled the fundamentals. That's it. So it's the ones who take the handful of things, and sometimes, you know, we get bored with it. It's just kind of human nature. We want to chase something shiny. And if we can stay focused on the couple things that make all the difference, then we don't get bored with the amount of money that's rolling in. That's the key. If you're juggling pots and pans, hit *6 for us real quick. Who else? Somebody has a question. I know we're kind of quiet on a Monday, but or an update. Anybody?
I got nothing to update.
How was your weekend, Tom?
Unproductive. Otherwise, fine.
Don't be deflated.
Completely unproductive. Friday was completely unproductive. I gotta work through some psychological things with this whole. I don't know what's going on, but something's preventing me from doing the basics and calling people. I don't know what it is. It drives me nuts.
Hire somebody to make the calls.
I can't even make the call to hire somebody. I'll get it. I'm not gonna quit. I'm not gonna give up. But man, sometimes I get pissed at myself.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Keep fighting.
You know.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the battle with all of us. So, right, you're not alone here for sure. The battle's between our own 2 ears. It always has been and always will be. So, yep.
You know, it's really good to hear, you know, other people, they're making progress, they're doing this, they're doing that. It's good to see because it sounds like it's actually doable. On my end, sometimes I'm like, what the hell am I doing? What kind of fool am I to think I can do this?
Here's the thing. Let it motivate you. Don't use it as fuel to beat yourself up, right? Nobody here is ever going to pick up stones. We're always right. We're not going to heap on guilt and shame or anything like that. We're going to say, hey, Friday wasn't productive. That's okay. We all know what an unproductive day feels like. We all know what a mental block feels like. So let's regroup today, right? You jump on. This is why we do this in group, because it matters that you contribute, that you hear what other people are doing, be a part of it. So let it just convince you that it's possible, that other people are making calls, so can I. Other people are doing this, so can I. Everybody runs into, you know, bumps along the way and different hurdles, and that's just how it is, you know. And then we're all wired different. So some things come easier to some of us than other people, and that's it. You know, the message there is really hire your weakness. Everybody has them. There isn't one person on the planet that is good at everything that they do, right? Everybody has strengths and weaknesses based on just how we're built, how we're wired, past experiences, all that stuff. So hire, right, in school, this drives me kind of crazy. I'm not going to jump on a soapbox here, but in school, it's always what becomes quote-unquote normal for us is, hey, you're good at math, but you're not so good at English. Let's go to work on English. We got to bring this up. And, right, I'm going to stay off the soapbox. What's more effective in business is I'm good at X, so let me do that, and I'm not good at Y, so let me hire somebody to do that. Don't work on the weakness. We have to know a little bit about it, right? You have to know a little bit about sales and the script and that kind of thing, but you don't have to be a good salesperson when you can find somebody to join your team who is. So you don't have to be super organized to run a business when you can find somebody who can help you with that. So, no, right, Rob's no different. Rob has strengths and weaknesses, everybody. So Rob isn't, right, every part of real estate is not his strength. He has strengths in certain areas and weaknesses in others. So, you know, you don't have to be this perfectly well-rounded, I got to get good at everything. That's absolutely not it. There are a couple moving pieces that we always want to talk about, right? Because we don't want to take our eye off what works. Some of it you're going to be wired to be good at. Some of you have experience with certain things, so you're good at those. Some of you like to do certain tasks around real estate, so you're good at that. And then you've got stuff that just seems like pulling teeth, and that's fine. That's where you bring in help. So sometimes it's a jumping on the phone thing. Sometimes it's a lead gen organization, technology, whatever, transaction coordination, all that stuff. You just have to see the big picture around all of it. So be encouraged, not discouraged, because you're not the only one who had an unproductive Friday. So what's cool about it is if we
Amen.
Make some decisions today to move forward, we go from unproductive to productive. So it's not far away. It's just one decision away. So Tom, you're always open and honest about it. I appreciate it because it, you know, things in our brain trip us up. But we want to talk through them because most of the time, right, especially around real estate and this kind of thing. I mean, you're used to having your life on the line, hanging by a rope and a bolt, and that's serious. right? I mean, failure there can be catastrophic and can be, you know, your family doesn't have you anymore. We're talking about phone calls, you know, contracts, paperwork. That's, you know, it can all go sideways, but it's not going to kill you. So let's, you know, let's keep what we're doing here in perspective as well. I love the fact that you climb, because to me, that's crazy. And it's a lot easier for me to jump on a phone. The thing about it, though, is that's in your comfort zone. And some of this phone call and, you know, some of this business isn't. So we just have to get it there. It, you know, it doesn't always happen overnight. It, you know, it rarely does. But you can take steps, and you have, and you'll continue to in the right direction. And then one day you'll wake up and say, hey, this is now inside my comfort zone. And it won't be an issue. So
some of the stuff that I have, the computer stuff is getting easier. I got to say, it's starting to click, so I can. It's not so hard, so that's good. Well, let me give you an update on my saga on my property. I still can't get inside that thing. The guy's not around. His partner can't get in touch with him. So I got nothing to show people. What if I tell them that I have a property? So. Makes it hard for me to say, hey, I got a property, and no, you can't see it.
You know, this goes back to you got to have multiple, right? I get it. There's only one on the table, so we're going to focus on it, and we got to get it moved. But this is why you want 3 to 5. Some of you want 10 to 15, depending on what level you want to run at. This is why we have multiple on the table, right, moving forward at all times, because – hey, I've got 3 or 4. There's an issue on this one. That's okay. Let me have conversations about these. If and when this one comes around, you know, we'll now get it in the mix. So this is, you know, I'm still along the same lines with you. You got to get somebody consistently on the phone. Here's the thing. If you don't want to have, at some point you're going to have a conversation about it, but, you can go out to social media instead of, you know, try and find somebody in your network that you, you know, say, hey, I'm looking for somebody who can do some phone sales for me in the real estate arena, that kind of thing, and maybe get a warm referral into somebody. You can try that. I think it's easier to talk to a complete stranger. That's just how I'm wired. But, yeah, if there's another way, let's just get creative to get you on the phone with somebody. You could even you could post a reverse. Trying to think how we could run this. Here's what I'll tell you is that you post an ad for a salesperson and somebody replies, you'll have an easier conversation than I think you're going to have, because you can open up, Tom. You can open up and be totally honest and be like, listen, here's where I'm at. I know how to generate great leads around real estate. They're in Pittsburgh. I'm just terrible on the phone. I don't want to be on the phone. I don't like to be on the phone. I'm not good at being on the phone. That's why I need somebody like you. And just come out and just be open and honest and just be a little vulnerable right off the bat. It'll kick the conversation off in a good spot. Because people just appreciate that kind of honesty. So I think it'll be easier than you think it will. Just like when you made some seller phone calls. Yeah, push on.
All right.
Here's the thing. The sooner you just make that first dial and have the first conversation, even if it goes terrible, you'll never see that person. You'll never talk to them again. They'll forget about it 10 minutes later. You'll forget about it 3 days later, and you both will go on like nothing ever happened. I mean, that's really worst case scenario. So
you're talking about sellers?
Let's paint a little perspective. No, hiring a salesperson.
Salesperson, yeah.
Yeah. So get an ad posted, have a few conversations, write out a handful of questions, send them into the coaching center if you want, right? I'm happy to give feedback on them or add to the list, and just come out of the gate and say, here's where I'm at, here's what I'm doing.
Okay.
And then people will either be interested or they won't. If they're not, great.
Well, you know, you're going to do a bunch of work, and it might come to nothing if we don't close on them. You're not going to make any money at all.
You've never had a commission sales job, I'm assuming?
Are you kidding?
That's what commission sales jobs are.
Tried to sell vacuum cleaners. That didn't work. Because the vacuum cleaner I was trying to sell sucked.
Literally.
It was horrible. No. It didn't work at all.
Listen. Salespeople want to be paid on commission. You don't have to explain to any of them that if they don't sell anything, they're not getting paid, because that's the norm, and that's how they want
paid. But they could sell it. But they got it under contract and everything else. Now it's up to me, and I can't perform my end of the bargain. We can't get it to the closing.
So this is a lack of confidence that you can't bring your end of the deal to the table. Let's just call it what it is.
I think.
So.
Yeah.
We're going to talk through the whole process, get somebody on board. Let's make it happen. Hey, tell your bird dog, you have to get access to this place, right? Clearly that has to come into play, but you need a couple more on the table. And then as soon as one is, get somebody there in Pittsburgh to go throw out some bandit signs for you that say, I have a contract for sale in this neighborhood. Call me at this number. We'll help you pull the sellers out of the woodwork, or the buyers.
All right.
So get somebody on top. Here's the other thing you can do. Just find the buyers and give them to the salesperson and say, here's how this is going to work. I want you to double end this thing. Talk to the sellers, get the contract, and then I'm going to have you talk to buyers to get the deal sold and put selling it on them, and you just bring them the data. Now both sides of the transaction are them. Tell them I'll pay you a double commission, one for the contract and one for the sale to the end buyer, and here's how we'll do it, and just let them dip both sides. Because if you have a dispositions person, you're going to pay a double commission anyway. Just get you out of the picture. Say, here's what I know how to do. I know how to do research. I know how to find buyers. I know how to look up companies. I know how to research public records. I know how to do all this stuff. And we're going to get you on the other end and, you know, let's work together and get this done. So you don't even have to do the back end of it. Have a salesperson do it.
All right, I'll get on it.
Okay. Nola, what's going on? You have some numbers for us to run.
Nola. I know her.
Yep.
No, her name was Nola B. Avenue. So, back in the day.
How many do you you found a seller that has what?
He has multiple properties. He has basically eight doors to sell.
Okay.
And,
they're all single family, or you have a couple multi units in there, right?
They're all, one is a triplex that was a single family, or one of those crazy doubles they have down there. And he's made it into three.
Okay.
And that income on that is $28.25 a month gross. And he started at $175 and he's down to $150 now, but that's the one he started at. And he said he started at $175 because he wants to pay off the mortgage on his new house.
Okay.
The other two properties he has are next to each other, and one is a fiveplex and one is a threeplex. Of course, these are all engineered, you know. And those two units bring in $5,815 a month.
And he wants them all sold?
Yes. He's asking $225 for those, the eight doors.
$225 for all eight.
Yeah, and that's the one that's got, it's got three vending machines and two coin washers and two coin dryers that the tenants use. And he says it brings $300 a month, basically. And I've got that included in that. $5,815.
All the units are currently rented?
They're all currently rented. That's what he said. Okay, so he said, yeah, brother, I can't live like that. I've got to be, I've got to keep them full. So anyway.
So they're all turnkey.
Mm-hmm.
So what do the numbers look like on the whole deal? 2.25 by price, and then what's the gross rent on all of them?
On the gross rent is what do you want me to include, the 300 or not?
No, just go off lease agreements.
Okay, 55.15.
55.15 times 70%.
Well, I've been using 65.
38.60. Right?
Yeah.
225,000 divided by 38.60. About 12, 4.8 year return of cash. Now, there's no markup in that, right? That would be your price on it.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So 38.60 times 12, 46,320 divided by 2.25, 20.6% cap on that, as it right without any markup on there.
Yeah, but this is the one you want to put a big markup on it.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that if I can buy both of his, all of it, I could probably get him down a little more. Like I was talking to Josh, my guy in New Orleans, he thinks that the first one, the triplex, he's thinking try to get it for 120. I don't think they'll go for that. But
yeah.
Because right now the numbers on it don't look that great as at 150.
Right.
You know, it's like a 12 or 13 cap, which is okay, but I was including I'm estimating on that one, 15,000 rehab, although it looks good. Josh went and looked at it, although he didn't take pictures. I can't believe that, but he said it doesn't need any work. Now, these other two, with all the income, I'm not sure about what the condition they're in.
But right.
I put 25 grand in there just because of, you know, when you have tenant turnovers, you got to get rent ready, and you got to throw something in there. So, you know, 8 doors, 25,000, that's, you know, pretty minimal rehab.
Right.
But, you know, some of them, one's an efficiency, and I guess the others are 3 and 2 bedrooms. I'm not real sure. I don't have the bedroom breakdown on the.
Hey, when he split that single family into a 3-unit, all that was permitted and approved through the city? Do you know?
I'm not real sure. Okay. I think that could potentially be an item.
I'm only asking because don't buy somebody else's problem.
Oh, absolutely.
If the city's going to try and do something at change of ownership. So I'm assuming you could call down, ask the seller first. You know, you can just say, hey, I'm assuming that, right, the zoning was clear on this to make it a 3-unit and that all this was done above board. I mean, that's my assumption. Is that correct? Just to make sure. Because, you know, you don't want any surprises there clearly on change of ownership that you find out you can't sell.
Well.
Yeah, this is, you know, the numbers on this are strong.
Yeah, they're real
you
strong.
Have, ideally, this goes to one seller, but, you know, Rob always, he takes these kind of deals and breaks them up into separate transactions just to make life easier. You know, just figure out what you're going to buy each one for.
Oh, yeah. And, he would do that. You know, I mean,
yeah,
if we come up with a number, he can put this on that and that on this or whatever. So.
Right.
I'm trying
to
look
up
this
one. Is your guy down
there?
Does your guy down there have buyers that are looking for?
Yeah, he says yes, but you know,
about,
it's, I'm getting you know, I sent him all the info today too, and when he went to look at the one triplex the other day, he had other appointments, so he couldn't go see these 8-plex that the guy wanted to go see him, and the guy kind of got a little upset. So. He said, well, he acted like he wasn't caring. I said, no, he had other appointments, man. He had to shoot. He said, well, it was only 3 minutes away. I said, well, you know, I can't. I had to smooth the water over because I kind of have a relationship with this guy, and he's, you know, calling me brother and all that stuff.
That's a good sign.
But he's responding to me, so But he says he has them, but, you know, I know I need to, that needs to be actually one of the first things I do is I really need to finish building my buyer's list down there. So,
yeah.
Because I know I'm not going to end up being able to rely on this guy that I'm working with because he's got his own business. And,
yeah.
And I know how that goes.
Hey, so real quick out of the gate, get an ad into Craigslist that says, eight units coming available, a fiveplex, a threeplex, whatever they are. If this is your cup of tea, give me a call. You know, if you want to throw in some of the numbers, put on a wholesale fee and a little bit of fix up and, you know, this cap rate, whatever, 6-year return of cash on your investment, throw that in. You've got to talk to property managers, right, and just come out of the gate and say, I've got a fiveplex and a triplex that are about to be under contract. And, I want to get these things moved quick. Who do you know that's buying multiples like that, right?
You don't think that's risky to do that?
Why?
Well, I mean, they might see the ad.
What's that?
The Craigslist ad.
So don't put in what they are. Just put in, if you're looking for multi-units. Give me a call. He knows your intent, right? On what you're
doing. Yeah, I'm not sure if he knows it completely, but yeah, I mean, I keep saying my investors, so, you know, I haven't crossed that bridge yet.
Yeah, so do this then, is look through some of the ads on Craigslist and see what's going on. Is there a real estate group down there?
Yes.
And then you've got to have, I'm trying to think. So you can go into, when you select property type in list source, you can grab that zip code or, you know, the zip codes around the area, right? Grab the one that the properties are in, the one or two, and then the surrounding zip codes. And then, you know, what we always do in the coaching center is select single family residence for property type. You can select duplex. I think you can go to triplex. I can't remember if you go quad, but somebody that's buying multi-units, and you can pull that list and then buy that list right out of list source with the zip code that the houses are in and the surrounding. So you just do it off property type. See what the activity levels look like in the area and then who the buyers are.
I do have one buyer that my VA got me that he had a house and he didn't want to sell it. But he was wanting the address and everything, and I told him I couldn't give it to him right now.
Yeah.
So he's going to get a call from me, and I can give him some rough numbers to see if he's interested. So.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to bring an address. You can have a call, you know, with somebody like that and say, hey, there's a 5-unit, a 3-unit. Here's what the numbers look like. So, yeah, man, make that happen. If nothing else, you'll meet buyers through it. Even if this deal doesn't come together, you got a reason to call them. Say, hey, you know, we're fine-tuning the numbers, but it looks like 8 units for, you know, and then take your 2.25 and mark it up whatever you think for this amount. And
I had
buyers down there.
Of course, my laptop's in the shop again, but I was able to run the 225 buy price, 25 rehab, and the 25 fee.
Yep.
It came to six years at like a 16-point something cap. So that's
yeah. So what did
numbers.
I say? 3860 times 12 divided by 275. Yeah, 16.8%.
Well, I was using 65% on my figures, but that's just me.
Okay.
It's still it's still over 16.
Yeah.
A pretty decent for turnkey. I mean,
really.
The other one is tricky at 150, but I think I can get him down if I can move both of them. So.
Right. Right. Where are you at on a salesperson to replace your VA?
I'm not anywhere.
That's going to change this week, though.
Yeah, I had a bad Friday and a bad Monday.
See, Tom, you're not alone.
Yeah, Tom, you're not alone.
John said, I'll see you Friday, and I'll see you Friday, and I'll raise you on Monday.
And you, anybody remember Wimpy? I guess there nobody
yeah.
remembers Wimpy. Yeah.
From Popeye?
Yeah, for a hamburger on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, the laptop thing is just crazy. You know, I had to take it to the Geek
can
Squad.
Buy, can you just buy a new one for $500?
Well, I should have, but I bought a hard drive in this one about 3 or 4 months ago. So,
gotcha.
So, and then right now I'm broke, so I've got to get a deal going. So,
I got
52 more leads from a bird dog, and I had to put a stop to him right now. But so I've got over 250 leads in New Orleans now. So,
nice.
And,
so you need a salesperson yesterday.
Yeah. She got
She did get a lead today.
She did get a lead today. I got a call back. But,
right.
But you know, it's $10,000 paying back taxes. The owner of record is different than the person she talked to, and it's $10,000 in back taxes. And it's also a rented property. You know, these people have other properties when you call them, is what happens.
Yeah.
And it's a turnkey house, and I'm trying to find out how much it's worth. So. Yes, I need one yesterday, and
yep.
I need a deal closed yesterday, too. So.
Got leads sitting there, so get somebody on the phone. They're going to be commissioned, obviously, and you keep working this. I like this little 8-pack.
Man, I'd love to be able to grab that on owner financing or something.
Yeah, you would.
Man.
Is he up for it?
I think he's wanting cash to pay the mortgage off. So
it sounds like might be worth a question though.
Yeah. Yeah, but I got to get my boy down there to play right too. He's got to get with me and help me out on it to push it through, I guess. So. But I know
I can't
rely on him all the time. So.
Yeah, either that or he doesn't. I mean, if you have a contract and you disclose your intent and just start meeting buyers down there. I mean, you know, part of the program isn't, hey, you have to know somebody down there that's already a wholesaler. That's not it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So, yeah, he
no, not, that's not in it at all. I got you, yeah.
Yeah, move forward either way.
Oh, I plan to. So, but I started having questionable thoughts though when all that happened. So.
Yeah, that's the way it works. That's why.
Because if somebody's got me going and looking at stuff for them, and I'm JVing with them, I just do it. You know, it's just me.
Right.
So,
well, here's the thing that you know, just because you know this guy down there, it may not be a good relationship. So, I mean, you can't say, well, if Nola works, it's because he helped me out, and if it doesn't, it's because he didn't. That's
oh, no, no, no. No, absolutely. I agree with that. 100%.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it'd be nice
to have him to get off the ground, so. But.
Yeah, but you don't need him to get off the ground. So you can start flying anyway. So let's just you keep moving forward, and if he wants to get on board, he does, and if he doesn't, he doesn't, and that just is what it is.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Anybody looking for a bunch of rentals, right? Looking to buy more than one unit in Craigslist, you have to talk to, and you've got to get on with property management down there and say, I'm about to have 8 doors tied up in the form of a this and this. Here's what the numbers look like. Who do you know that's looking for that? That's looking for multifamily, multi-units.
Well, they'll know them, won't they?
Yeah, and then they want the doors under management, and the end buyer wants more properties, and you want to sell them. So,
well, what do you think is say the other property? I know running those numbers like he's got it now. It's like almost 9 years. I really need to be in between 5 and 7 to make it attractive to someone, don't you think?
5 and 7, what? Return of cash?
Years. Yes.
Depends. Yeah, some
every
people
mark,
don't care.
Every market's
well,
different.
They care, but yeah, it just depends on the buyer. I mean, that's what I was. I know a couple months ago I brought it up. People are buying rentals in Denver right now with 28-year return of cash. They're flying off the shelf. So,
wow.
You can't just say, it's more than 7 years. Nobody wants it.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
Blanket statement.
No different than cap rate. You got to be at least 14, and then you meet somebody. Yeah, if it's a 10, I'll take it. Beats a money market return of 0.8%. So it just depends. That's why you got to get people on the phone.
Well, the one thing
you've
about
got,
this,
yeah,
this eightplex, these two properties, it's
yeah.
in the corner of a good zip code, but its actual location is pretty much an industrial area, even though it's
okay.
zoned residential. So I think that's going to be detrimental to it as well.
Yeah, but they're renting now. So here's the other thing you need to know is what are the lease agreements in place? Are they month to month? How many years out? How long have the tenants
yeah.
been there, right? You want to paint a picture of somebody's going to walk in. This is going to be a turnkey buy. So somebody's going to walk in, and they're going to want to know all these questions. So you've got to get them.
Yeah, I was pulling my teeth to get the rents on the eightplex. So I finally got that after 3 or 4 days, and they finally sent me a text this morning out of the blue and said, I haven't forgot you, and here you go. So
yeah, so get that data, because that's when you go to sell this, that's part of the story. Here's the thing. The tenant in here, been there 5 years, right? I mean, if they just moved in 45 days ago, that right, that's the thing that the eventual end buyer is going to want to know. But you got to get this piece together so you have the data. Then you can go to the property managers and just go crazy on looking for buyers. Go into List Source, get that list. Maybe your buddy knows an agent down there that can pull the multifamily stuff for you. Property managers will maybe do it for you because they're licensed. Pull the multi-unit sales out of the MLS down there.
Well, I'm sure he's got somebody that can do it.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
Man, let's get this thing rolling. So you gotta have a conversation about intent and with the seller, and then get data, get information on those leases and who's in there and the tenants, and get a profile of them. Serial killers or good tenants?
If they're all month to month, it may be tricky, huh?
It just depends. Month to month might be the norm down there.
Yeah.
So you go to, somebody's just going to assume it's that unless there's a lease in place. You can't just say because of this it's going to be tricky. You just never know.
Yeah, and whoever buys it's buying a lease too. So.
Right.
Assuming there's a lease.
Typically, somebody's not usually going to come out of the gate and say, "I want to be a landlord. Let me buy 8 properties." You're going to sell to somebody that has multiple doors, and these 8 are going to blend into their, however many else they have.
Yeah.
They're just going to add to, most likely. So, but they want to know, what does this add to my portfolio?
It's crazy how they get this many doors out of those buildings down there, though, man. They're like 15 or 20 feet wide at the most, and they're, 150 feet long, I guess. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is.
And they're weird.
Yep.
They're not that long, but they're very narrow. Most of the time. All right. Even a double's only about 25 foot wide. So.
You're already talking like them with this double and triple. Like
that's
it.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Good stuff, man.
All right,
yeah. Let's get these moving this week. And then salesperson. John, you got to have somebody on the phone consistently. We've been talking about it for a while now. So.
I know it.
Quit making me bring it up, please. That's a fair request.
I hear you.
I
had you muted. What? Yeah, okay, man.
All right. Who else?
Hey, Mike.
Cover
Quinn.
What's that?
Quinn, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too much. Good. Good.
Speaking of salespeople,
right.
Did you get rid of the actor?
Nope. He's still helping, and I bet he's gonna be getting some checks real soon. So.
Is he?
Yep. But he does have some gigs coming up, so.
Time to.
I reached out to the best salesperson I knew, and started some training with her on Thursday. But I was out
okay.
town, went to Miami Beach for Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So.
That doesn't sound bad.
Nah, it's 5.5-hour, 6-hour drive for me, so one way.
Yeah, cool.
I live in Florida, but it's pine trees, not palm trees. So. That's why me and John sound the same on the phone.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah.
It's funny.
So
good.
Yeah, we do have
–
we've got a couple deals.
Deal. Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, getting a full-time salesperson is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. So,
let me give people a little background story, because Quinn and Josh had a guy that's an actor. I was going to say a wannabe actor, but he is acting in a sales role.
He's paid.
So we just had the conversation. If somebody calls, a producer calls with a big part, is this guy gone? And they both, without hesitation, said, "Yep, he's out." So. We had a conversation around, okay, that's not, you know, that's okay for now. You have somebody on the phone, but that's not what the business needs long term. So working on a more permanent salesperson to jump on the phone for him. So
yep. And I would say Josh has been kind of handling that person for a while, and actually the actor friend was a friend of mine, and last time he was in town, he's like, you know, somehow he's seen one of my posts on Facebook or something. Somehow it came up, and he's like, "You looking for a sales? You know, somebody do it." I guess, "Could I do that?" And I'm like, "Well, someone else I know that had told me about a year ago that I need to hire a salesperson said he all his acquisitions people he used are female." So I've been looking, you know, I've been steering towards that because for that reason. So I just kind of blew him off at the time. I was like, "Oh yeah, maybe so, whatever." And then, so Josh and I have been looking, and I think we've hired probably 9 people this year altogether to do calls. And, they all fall out for one reason or the other. And, of course, I've owned business since I was 14 years old, so storefront businesses. So, and I have a rule that, you know, I broke with this is I never hire anybody that doesn't already have a job. And because they usually, if you know, everybody, I always say this, everybody that's working or wants to work is already working. So anyway, I was trying to find, to find a busy person and put, you know, get them, you know, they get super organized, get things done. But I mean, we've hired stay at home moms with 5 kids and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, they last a week or two. And Josh spent a lot of time training them and all this kind of stuff. So we started just pulling them in closer, cut out all the, you know, all the stops, just gave them access to only the seller section in FreedomSoft and only told them,
yep,
press this button, make a call. Didn't give them hardly any instructions, gave them a little short video, said make calls. And so we went from a big process down to a little bitty nothing. Just, if you're going to quit, quit now.
Right.
And I was going to help Tom a little bit. I know, you know, Josh and I were pretty frustrated. We've been pretty frustrated the whole time. And until a few weeks ago, we had a conversation, and I reached out to a guy that I was introduced to, like, in 2004, who had, you know, he basically was wholesaling a list of 200 doors that he had or something. And we were introduced by a mutual friend, and I saved his number. I've had his number saved for 10, 12 years. So, since like I said, 2004, so whatever, 13 years. And, had added him on social media and all this kind of stuff. And, but we've never met. We spoke on the phone one time back in 2005 or so. And he might have liked one of my posts or whatever here and there, but we don't know each other.
Right.
And I'm saying this to say, reach out to those local investors that are in that market. And we, when we finally started getting some tractions, we've got TJ on the phone. He is getting some deals because Josh's a personal trainer. I buy and sell real estate, but I also have another set of partners, and we do. We've got a building we bought in town, and it's been consuming all my time and kind of aggravating.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we got kind of distracted with the shiny stuff I did. And but reaching out, we put the actor in place to make calls. We finally got a hold of the, you know, the investor that's been in that market buying and selling for 47 years. And once we got him plugged in, he sold our last three deals for us, you know, so we just split the profit with him. You know, Josh and I take 25%, he takes 50, you know, but we were just to the point where it's like, okay. And so we're going to eventually, but since then we found another cash buyer out there also, which we had found a while back, but he just wasn't, he's a bottom feeder. I mean, that's what he calls himself. You know, he just wants to, he wants to steal. He doesn't want a deal. He wants to steal something.
Right.
He got burnt and, you know, he got burnt in 2007, 2008. And he's like, I'm not, it's never going to happen to me again. I'm going to buy, if I buy something, it's going to be because it ain't, you know, there's, it's a no brainer. And he owns 200 houses and they're all paid for and all this kind of stuff. So he's rebuilt in the last 10 years. So, so we're still on the like I said, the person I reached out to on Thursday was my mom, because that she can sell anything and she's super sweet on the phone. Everybody loves her. She can talk to anybody. And my parents are both in, have been in real estate for 30, 40 years now. So they're semi-retired, but she'll come out of retirement for me. So.
Oh, you're calling in the big guns with getting Ma on the phone.
That's right. Yep. And don't mess with my mom. She will,
yeah, you guys need to be at salesperson, dispositions person, full-time leads manager.
Yeah.
You've got some other stuff in place. You're both busy on the side. So we've got to get there. And it looks like, what's your mom's time commitment? You said she's semi-retired, but she's about to hustle this thing for you?
She can. She'll be, she could help me train somebody too. And they'll, you know, she's more organized than I am, you know, when it comes to that stuff. So she can make calls and she can train somebody and at the same time. So she can also close the deal. She's done everything, you know, she's top to bottom before. So, but she's just there again, a temporary fix until we can move forward. You know, that's just a,
I was going to say,
as we're looking for somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
you could maybe sweeten this up a little too, and not just hire a salesperson, but somebody to come run the whole department for you.
Yeah.
You know, and incentivize them. You know, as such, you know, they brought just from what I watched with Rob and Brad, they brought Chris in and then said, hey man, bring in a few more guys to start setting these calls for you. You know, make your life a little easier. Let them pound the phone and get through it all, and you just come in and close the thing. So that's, you know, that's another route you can go, is to get somebody like that and say, you know, we're not just looking for somebody to make phone calls, but, you know, can you come in and drive the sales side of the business for us?
Yeah.
Because we can feed leads. And those people are out there. I mean, especially the high D's, high I's, they like to be in control. They want to drive, you know, turnover. You know, obviously find the right person, try and make a good decision on it, but, you know, turn something like that over and see it. Say, hey, man, come and build this thing. You're the sales expert. That's what we need.
Yeah.
We can generate the numbers for you to call. So,
okay.
Yeah, so you think I mean, it sounds like your mom is great on the phone, but you're already talking that she's a temporary fix. So we're just we're moving from one temporary to another temporary,
right,
is what
right.
I'm hearing.
Yep.
And she
definitely.
Probably doesn't want to be that sales management type position, although she may be pretty handy in the interim.
Yeah.
To get on
actually,
the phone.
I mean, she was working something recently for, you know, she's been working, she was working at a museum as a curator, you know, and she, she just left there, so she's ready to, she wants, she, okay. she likes to stay busy, so she's not a, she's not going to sit down, so, but we'll see, like I said, she, that may or may not be her, her cup of tea, so. But she's done it all, so she could do it. It's not a problem. So, like I said, but it, yeah, definitely. I appreciate the insight because it, it might not be.
Yeah, well, you want ideally you want somebody that's really hungry because they're going to make one more call. They're going to push through the initial numb, not really interested to sell, right? I was who was I talking to about this last week about this is why you go through the personality type. I was chatting with somebody, I don't remember who, but they've got somebody on the phone burning through leads. And, you know, the reason you want the high D, high I personality type is because if you don't have a salesperson on the phone and they say, you know, hey, I'm calling about your vacant property over at so-and-so, are you looking to sell? And the person's like, no, not really. They'll be like, okay, hang up. Yeah. But you get a salesperson on the phone. This is why, right, somebody with experienced sales, that first no is just like a light bulb to ask 20 more questions. Oh, so this vacant house is working out good for you then, huh? What would, you know, why is it still vacant? What was your intent? Oh, you bought it as a rental. Why isn't it rented? And they start, they find the pain, right? Because that's what salespeople do. And so it, it really matters that you get the right person in the right seat on the bus because they'll take the same leads and they'll pull deals out of them. Whereas you get somebody that isn't motivated like that and at the first sign of no, they just fold up and hang up the phone and call another one. So,
that's me.
It sounds like maybe that's your mom. It either is or it isn't. And if not, then, you know, get a full-time salesperson in there that's wired like this and say, hey man, we're going to give you great leads. You go mine them out. Cause that's what they do. So, but yeah, this will, how many leads do you have just in the queue that somebody could jump on the phone and start calling?
Oh, we got hundreds of leads, maybe thousands.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, when we before we came on, this has been an ongoing problem because we being very good at finding leads. Before we picked up and started working with you guys, we already had 3,000 to 4,000 leads that had come in from postcards we sent out and phone calls that had come in. So.
So, Quinn, this is a scenario with where you guys sit, where you can move right into a full-time salesperson, and in the ad you can put, "We're looking somebody to build a small team." If you can't, if you don't know any other salespeople, or you can't handle any other salespeople, or motivate, don't reply to the ad. If you can, then let's talk shop, and you get somebody right off the bat that says, "Listen, we want to get you." Trained scripts, right? We'll give you the lay of the land. And then we want you to find at least one other person right off the bat because we have 3,500 leads that need a call, that need to be reached out to. There's a ton of money in them, right? We just need you and probably one, maybe two other people to mine these things out to start digging. And then, I mean, you guys are, you're in a position to go from where you're at now, it sounded like you had a couple deals on the table to 10 plus. I mean, you get the right person on and then they know somebody else or they hit the phones immediately. You'll be in the middle of 10 contracts. You know, there's a good chance you'll be there inside of 10 days.
Right.
I mean, it's not unusual. It's the norm for Chris and his team to be putting, I mean, it's not like you get one a day, but I mean, they're just averaging daily contracts and that's
right.
That's where you want it to be, obviously. So you've got all the stuff there. It's just missing a salesperson or getting a, you know, a wannabe actor on board who's doing sales just because the producer hasn't called and said, hey, I'm going to put you on this TV show. Right.
Right.
That's it. I mean, you're one team member away from just being explosive. You know, your sales manager as well, tell him that we need two people. We need somebody else to hit the phones with you, and we need a dispositions person that once these are tied up, we'll train them. But, you know, you kind of oversee them. Maybe you know somebody you can bring on board and get that other piece on there. Then, while they're burning through your 3,500 leads, you guys start to have the lead manager conversations. Maybe lead manager / transaction coordinator.
Right.
To keep, you know, keep that stockpile in place and just let the team do what the team does, right? They just – Rob brought on Chris. And then Chris brought on the three setters that are feeding him. And then they're just doing multiple deals a week inside of, you know, I mean, it's been a few months since they launched Memphis now, but, I mean, the volume ramped up in the first 2 to 3 weeks. That's all it took. Chris tied up, I don't remember the exact number. I need to ask Rob because it was over $20,000 in wholesale fees in his first 2 weeks when he came out to Denver to train. I think it was closer to 30, if I'm not mistaken, but they were in the middle of all that, you know, in 14 to 21 days. So it's right there. And that actor, just so everybody knows, that was Clooney, right? The guy, your buddy that called you?
Right.
Said he needed some work?
Yeah. Just a little bit of help. He actually does have a famous name, but he's not that guy.
That's funny. It probably doesn't hurt, though, when he's trying to be an actor.
No.
That's funny. I'll change my name to Tom Cruise and move to Hollywood.
Shoot, yeah.
Nobody'd believe me because he's like 5'2", I think. And I wouldn't pass for that. Maybe
shorter than you.
What's that? Yeah.
Height. A foot shorter and
something like that.
Yeah,
man, it's right there. We talk about this all the time. If you have leads that nobody has called, your next step is a salesperson. That's it. It's that simple.
Right.
And it just, I mean, as soon as you turn that, get that one piece into play, they just start lighting up the board. And that's the problem you want, because now you have to find a dispositions person and a lead manager, but things start clicking. I mean, you're one person away from being in the middle of a bunch of contracts.
Right. Yep.
That's it. And you have great, you have 3,000 to 4,000 leads. You've got some from a few years ago, which is perfect for somebody that's a little newer on the team. They can cut their teeth on them. They can learn. They can learn the script. What's that?
They're all less than 12 months old.
Unbelievable. So you just have, I mean, if I'm a salesperson and I'm combing through the ad on Craigslist or Upwork or Indeed, right? And I'm just looking for an opportunity to get on the phone and really make some money. And I get on the phone with you and you tell me that you have high ticket real estate leads. These are, right, realistically $5,000 to $7,000sales, right? High ticket sales. And you tell me that you have 3,500 that have been generated in the last 12 months. How quick can you call through them? I'm just licking my chops.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an incredible situation for a good phone salesperson to walk into.
Right. I believe it.
So there's somebody out there that's waiting for that ad to get posted.
Yeah.
And have your mom help out. It sounds like she wants something to do. She doesn't have to do it, though. So the magic will happen when you find somebody that either needs it or really, really wants it.
Yeah.
Right? So if she can come in and help transaction coordinate, do a little real estate coach, a little training here, that's perfect because that takes some of the burden off you and Josh. But get somebody on board that is fired up to say, hand me a phone and a big list of numbers, and it'll change the trajectory.
Right.
So... When can you have that ad posted? Tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, tonight. Good.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Jump on Thursday. Let us know where you're at. Yeah.
How would you pay the lead manager? How would you pay him?
Yeah, good question on that one, because that's typically not a sales and transaction coordination. So you can do hourly leads management. You can still pay by the deal for transaction coordinator. You can bring somebody in and say, hey, here's where we're at. And that's probably it's typically the third piece to the puzzle, right? Salesperson, dispositions, those go either simultaneously or one right after the other. And then leads manager / transaction coordinator. So pretty easy to hire and find a real estate transaction coordinator. A lot of times they're used to working off X amount per closing. You can post in the real estate section on Craigslist a lot of times and find somebody with experience. And then to teach them how to, you know, post an ad on Craigslist and run a little bit of coordination. See, that person is really organized anyway, because that's what they do, transaction coordinate, right? They make sure the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So to put some lead management on their plate where they're organizing bird dogs here and there, you know, making sure leads get skip traced, that kind of thing, usually pretty simple for them because organization is what they do anyway. Totally the opposite personality of your sales team.
Right.
A good salesperson will say, you know, hand me the script. What are the leads? What am I selling? And where's the phone? And they won't even hesitate. They'll just jump in, right? It's kind of like ready, fire, aim. That's how a lot of them are wired, right? Kind of fine-tune them, honing their skills as they go with some of the real estate-related conversation. But they're just – It's really normal for most salespeople. You ask them, oh, you know, what have you sold over the years? And they don't just – it's every once in a while you'll hear, you know, somebody say, I've sold cars for 35 years or insurance or whatever. But most of the time it's, I've sold a little of this, a little bit of that, did this for a while. They just don't really care what they're selling. They just want to sell.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, to find a transaction coordinator, $350 a file – $400 a file, $500 a file, and you can just build it right into your closing still. And then, you know, you'll hire them. You guys can all do lead gen for a little while. I mean, you get salespeople on the phone. You've already, you know, hired bird dogs for to bring in leads, found a skip tracer, kept that organized. If you do that for a little bit, and so be it. And then, you know, pay somebody $15 an hour to do that once the checks start coming in. Because it's not a hard task, and it's really not a full-time job either. So that's why it fits in kind of nice with transaction coordinator. Because it's not, you know, you're not going to spend 40 hours a week generating leads.
Right. Or closing.
Just not necessary. What's that?
Or closings. Or doing transaction coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you know, you'll get to that spot where you'd have somebody, you know, working consistently, keeping transactions going. But still, the pay them per file is pretty normal in the business. So you build it, you know, the less out of your pocket up front, the better. And then you get a good transaction. What's that?
You're saying let the transaction coordinator do lead management too? Is that what you said?
They can, yeah. Yeah, I was saying it's a good fit personality-wise because it's basically organizing leads, and transaction coordinators are organized anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do is, you know, shuffle paperwork and follow deadlines and track closing dates and that kind of thing. So
right.
The stuff that makes salespeople want to pull their hair out, that's where the transaction coordinator personalities thrive. And even you can find other, you know, contract transaction coordinators in the area. You don't have to keep somebody. You feel like you have to keep them busy full time. Find somebody that's already doing it. Say, hey, can you coordinate for me as well? Some of them will be tied to a company, but then there will just be independent transaction coordinators work out of their house or whatever. Right now they have Brad's mom came on to work. She's in the office. So, you know, similar kind of where you're at, Quinn, but she's helping just run the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of more transaction coordinator / executive assistant on her side of things. Because Rob hired that that college intern that they were working with. He's doing full-time leads. And he's, I believe, I have to double-check this too, but I'm pretty sure he's doing it while he's in school. He's just, you know, hiring the bird dogs, keeping them working. You know, he can do a lot of that just when he's outside of class, and now he's got a, you know, he's got some income while he's going to school. So that's even a, you know, that's another option. Hire a college student, teach them.
So, I actually got a guy too that we've already started talking to that can do all that. He's already got a job built for another company doing websites and organizing their stuff and all that kind of stuff. He just, he's like, I'm kind of bored, so I can take on some more stuff.
That's huge. I mean, it's not
eventually pull away.
It's not really your priority yet, but Quinn, you get a sales manager in there that brings on two or three setters, other salespeople. You'll need a leads manager quick, but that's where you guys want to be. I mean, I know the numbers you told me and where you want to go. So you have to be into, right? We ran the math on this a while ago. $100,000 a month. Assume low end that you're making $5,000 a deal, right? You got to get 20 closings in 30 days. And so in order to do that, you have to have 20 to 30, say, under contract.
Yeah.
And so because they're not all going to close, some are going to get delayed, right? You got to – so how many people does it take on the team to have, like, a rolling buzz of 20 contracts in your business? I don't think Darren's on tonight, but Sawyer got him into his sales guy when he brought him on, got him into 10 plus inside of a month.
Right.
One salesperson just consistently on the phone.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, sometimes it, we've kind of the other theme around here has been it's closer than it feels sometimes, right? It's not that far off. Where you sit or where anybody else sits for that matter. I mean, it really comes down to your business needs somebody on the phone consistently. Either that's you, or if that's not possible or you don't want to be on the phone, then you got to get somebody on board that is. And that'll be the catalyst. All right, Quinn, add tonight and then update on Thursday on office hours with where you're at.
All right.
So,
I need to hire somebody that won't triplicate leads.
Somebody is out there thinking, if I could just find the right opportunity, I know I can change the trajectory of my family's future. I just need the right opportunity.
Yep.
And this is where your ad is gonna kick in, and they're gonna say to whoever they care about and love in their life that I think I found it. That's how this is going to play out, would be my guess.
Yeah, definitely. Because they're selling coffees or something else, and they can't make.
They're just right. They
the
feel
numbers
like
aren't
hit
there.
Right, they feel like they've hit a ceiling. And people like real estate. Real estate is sexy. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
You tell people you're in real estate, and they're like, "No kidding. Oh, you flip houses? You do what? I've always wanted to do that."
Everybody,
I mean, people want
to
be around it. So give them that opportunity, and then I think your mom can be a valuable piece to this.
Yeah.
Whatever her role turns out to be, but you guys find a committed sales manager.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, quick?
I'd encourage folks on the call to keep pushing.
That's right.
Always, you know.
Hey, you have to be frustrated. That's a part of it.
Yeah.
Frustration's a part of the process. So,
heck yeah.
Stay the course. Push through. This is, you know, whatever you want to call it. This is life saying who's willing to go get it, because everybody is going to push through obstacles. Always, always, always. Rob and Brad in Memphis, they're pushing through obstacles because they always come up.
Yeah.
Right? But the plan is, what are we going to do? What does the business need? How are we going to get there? Let's go put this into place, and let's figure out a way over, around, through, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you guys are right there.
I will say for us that having a buyer
because Tulsa is my first. I've been buying and selling for 25 years, but outside of Live Oak, you know, or outside of Florida, I've never bought anything, and so I had to get it far enough away from me that I wouldn't, you know, run out there and put my hands on it. And so
right.
that's been the biggest push for me, you know. So it was just
it's hard to do. It's harder for somebody with experience like you than somebody that's working on their first deal because they don't know any other way.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah, yeah. It seems,
so that's a massive barrier that you guys have blown down. And here's the other thing, Quinn, is you guys are 30 to 60 days from 3, 4, 5 markets. So as soon as your salesperson is in play and then disposition comes on board and then you've got, you know, right after that, sales manager, and you guys pick a handful of other markets and just start feeding that machine and get it running in a few different places. And that's how, you know, can you put 20 contracts on the board in one market? You can in some, right, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But go to 3 or 4. Yeah.
In Tulsa. So, I mean, we have the lead. And I was what I was saying before was that Tom kind of encouraged me because I remember that struggle with the other thing that he's struggling with now. We didn't have a buyer in Tulsa. You know, we didn't have somebody we could trust out there. You know, it didn't feel right, whatever.
Right.
But when we found – once we found our buyer, Gary, and he actually – he's basically – we are setting for him, and he's closing the deal and selling it. So we're done. You know what I'm saying? So it just gave us a lot more confidence. And for us to break one market to 2 markets to 10 markets, we're going to have that confidence that have a process. You know, we have somebody who can set the calls and who can, you know, we have buyers in this market and all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, that'll be, for now, you guys can do it. You know, meet buyers. When you have a dispositions person and you're getting ahead of, you say, hey, we're going to go launch this market. You're going to send them through the process. You know, do some work now. You're going to set up your end buyers down the road, and you guys, you guys just teach the process. So,
yep. We still want to do that turnkey deal, though. We're still late.
Yeah, you know, just keep the activity going. The different deal types, they're going to come together. You know, what matters is that, you know, things are moving forward. Keep progressing.
Right.
Keep things going in the right direction.
Definitely.
At the end of the day, I'll tell you what Rob does. They meet buyers in a market, and they start having conversations. What are you looking for? Where are you buying? Right? They're just keeping notes, because when deals fit this, they're obviously going to offer them. And they just let the stats and the feedback determine what they go tee up. Right? What do people say they want? Let's get in the middle of those. So, and that's, you know, Memphis is known for being a turnkey market. So that's the norm there. Yeah. Not all markets are like that, though.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, just go blend in.
Tulsa's kind of like that because there's a lot of, several colleges there and, you know, Oral Roberts University, Rhema Bible Training Center.
Is there a lot of oil money in Tulsa? Or what's driving the city?
You know, there has to be.
University driven.
Yeah, I think it's more. I think it's a mix of both. Honestly, I haven't heard exactly, but I have a buddy. I need to call him. He's the senator for Oklahoma, so I need to call him up and ask him. You know, where's the money at? Where's it happening? You know, buying
in
up
his
junk
pocket.
Houses. Yeah, you want to make
you
us,
know
make us
you
look
know
good.
A senator in Tulsa, and I haven't called him yet. Did I just hear that right?
Yeah, yeah. I stayed at his house a couple of times. So,
Quinn, there's a good chance you don't have to go beyond him for your buyer.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he owns a
huge plumbing company. So, you know, he's a business guy too. So he's always looking.
That cracks me
for opportunities. So.
Call him tomorrow, please.
Yeah.
Right after your ad gets posted.
Right.
All right. Anybody else? Quick. We're try and keep these to 90 minutes. I don't want to skip anybody's question, but also don't want to take up everybody's night and my night, right?
Yeah.
I'm not being totally selfless here, but, you know, let's make sure we cover – we want to get questions answered, obviously, but I like keeping these to about 90. They're so people can chime in and also so the playback isn't eternity. So anybody else? Anything to add quick or questions?
Somebody just sent me a Facebook message. Hey, Quinn, I see y'all traveling a lot. What are you doing these days?
Love it.
Probably my sales manager, right?
Most likely. Most likely.
Mike, this is Esther.
Hey, Esther.
I have had the nightmare that everybody else is having, but my girl just, I think, went into outer space.
Yep.
She just quit. All of a sudden, I guess she's not communicating with me. So it's like I'm back to square one, which
yep.
Next. Likes 400 leads.
Yep. You're one salesperson away. This is it. Yeah, everybody, no matter what business you're in, we're in the people business. You can say you're in real estate all day long. You're going to buy from people. You're going to sell to people. You're going to hire people and fire people, and it just is what it is. Every business is a people business. Yeah, some people go into witness protection. It just is what it is. There's no rhyme or reason about it. Don't ask why. Just post an ad and get somebody else on board that wants to go. I don't know if I had a better answer for you, Esther. That's just life and what people do. So
what do you think about checking out the high schools?
For what? Salesperson?
Probably more along Skip Tracer.
Upwork.
And maybe
we go
maybe
to Upwork.
Even a salesperson?
Upwork.com. If anything, I'd go college and not high school. But
okay.
No, Upwork.com for a Skip Tracer and
mm-hmm.
Craigslist. You want an experienced salesperson. You don't want somebody that comes in and says, how do I sell? You don't have time for that. And if you're not a sales expert, you don't know how to train them. So
okay.
Unless you've been a sales manager for 10 years, hire somebody that knows sales where you can give them a script and a lay of the land and here's what we're doing, and that's all they need. They'll just cut loose. I mean, they'll
okay.
just – it's crazy when you get a salesperson around. You think they're going to ask, have all these questions, and what do I do, and what about this, and what about this, and what about this? And you get somebody that knows sales and knows – phone sales and how to talk to people, and they, you know, they'll just say, give me a couple guidelines and let's roll. Now you want to dial them in and make sure they know what's going on and understand things. But yeah, this is, as soon as somebody is, so Esther, let me ask you this. She all of a sudden disappeared one day, or you've seen the writing on the wall for a period of time? Which one?
No, all of a sudden disappeared. She was really excited. Her husband was coming on board. They were going to work as a team, and she was like really excited. I really like this. I'm so excited, and we're going to
yep.
make this work. And then all
and then
of a sudden,
where is
like,
this person located?
In Ohio.
Are they in the States? Ohio?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And when did they go MIA? Recently?
I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday when I kept calling and nothing happened. And, you know, and then Monday she says, you know, I'm back, but I can't get on board. And I was busy at the doctor's and I didn't get back to her until later on. And
yeah,
then
somebody knew.
Nothing.
Somebody knew. That's it. If you have them as a user in FreedomSoft, delete them. They may come back. If you feel like sending a final message, you can, otherwise just move on. Don't put any more
okay.
thought into it than this person disappeared and I'm going to find somebody else. That's it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
It's just people do what people do. It is what it is. Don't try and find an explanation. You'll just get frustrated. And it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
She's gone, so your business needs somebody who's in. And she's not it. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Back to square one.
Well, not square one. You've got a bunch of leads, so you're on, like, square 10.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Let's keep it in perspective. Not the square one. You just like what Quinn was saying, you've got leads that are sitting there, and you're just a good salesperson away. So don't see it as this big setback. Look at it as I'm really, really close to having somebody on the phone being in the middle of deals. You know, you're right there. So,
okay.
And that's just the reality. I'm not trying to be just super optimist guy, but that's the reality. Get somebody consistently on the phone and everything changes. Happens time and time again. We watch it. So,
okay.
Yeah. All great. Right. This stuff's all good. You know what? It's frustrating. You feel like, but you know, back to squirrel, and that's what it feels like. That's why we talk it through. But this is the stuff that now when it happens again, Esther, you'll just say, hey, so-and-so disappeared. Great. Where's my ad? Post it. Next. Boom. And the business will barely skip a beat. So this is valuable stuff that everybody goes through, right? The frustrations are, this was really cool. I was talking to my cousin today on lunch, and he doesn't remember where he heard this, but somebody was using the analogy. The view from the top of the mountain is really cool, but nothing grows up there. Everything grows down in the valley, where the valleys of life are. That's where the growth takes place. So we always want to be on the top of the mountain, but really, there's a good view from up there, but that's not where we get better. We get better in the trenches. And I thought that was a really cool way to put it, especially living in Colorado, right? You hike high enough and there's nothing because you get above tree line. There's a great view. I get it. You know, Tom has seen more great views than probably the rest of us combined with his rock climbing, but we get better down in the valley. So, you know, that's how life works. Some of us, we're in valleys, some peaks, but if you're on a peak, there's a valley coming. And if you're in a valley, there's a peak coming. So stay with it. That's how life is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Get somebody on board that wants to be there and watch. It's cool. It's cool what'll happen. Then then your problem will be your hair's on fire and you're trying to get all these contracts moved.
So that would be good.
So, will be good.
Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the pep talk, for the inspiration.
Absolutely. Yeah. Way to chime in. And, you know, sometimes it's not always easy to call in if you're feeling, you know, kind of deflated or whatever. But that's why we jump on these calls, because you have to hear that other people are struggling. You're not alone. And you have to hear that other people are winning, because that's where we want to go. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, if for those of you who chime in most of the time, you hear it. The same people have, you know, peaks and valleys. That's what it looks like. There isn't an easy button. It just, it takes consistent effort. That's the magic formula. Stay with it. Be persistent.
Okay.
So,
great.
Yep. Good stuff, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, mate. Let's have a great couple of days. I know you will. And, we'll chat again on Thursday. Any questions in the meantime, obviously get them into the coaching center and we'll get back to you. Keep your feet on the gas. Have a great afternoon or evening wherever you're at, and we'll chat soon, okay?
Thanks. Have a good one.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep. Take care, everybody.
See you later.
Bye. See ya.